from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, David Mead was wrong. You know how I know he was wrong? Because we're here. David Mead is that interesting fellow that came up with the idea that the world was going to end yesterday. He looked in the Bible, and he claims that the Jews referred to God as Elohim 33 times. I cannot confirm nor deny that fact because I've not bothered to count. He also claims that Jesus died when he was 33. And so since 33 in his mind has come up twice, it must be a very special number. And since we had that eclipse, well then the world must be ending in 33 days following the eclipse, which was yesterday. He was wrong. Of course, I never gave it much thought. You know, when we hear things and people tell us things, we have a tendency to decide whether we're going to give it any sort of credence or not. We assign a value to things that we hear, value to things that we learn. We either put a lot of value on something or put very little value on something. And we go on from there. Because that's the way our world works. We decide what is of value. We look at our families, we look at our jobs, we look at our family and our friends. I think I said family twice, it goes with canola oil. And there you have different values placed on those things in terms of what's important. But it's not just information, it's just not people that we place value on. We also have a tendency to place monetary value on a whole lot of things. Our houses have a certain value. Our cars have a certain value. The people we pay to do things, we assign value to that to decide whether or not we're going to pay them that amount to be able to do the work or whether we're going to find somebody else who will offer us those same services at a lower number because we have decided that that value is such. We place value on ourselves. For those of you who are currently employed, there is a value that's been placed upon you by the people who give you a check. It's called your salary. For those of you who are on your third chapter of life, you know what that value was. And sometimes it's really out of whack. Look at professional athletes. We're paying these bozos, and I love sports, but we're paying these bozos millions and millions of dollars to pay to play children's games. We love watching them because we're out there doing it. But the fact that they're getting so much money to do this is just absurd. We have CEOs for different corporations that live under that same absurdity, getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars to run companies. And the most absurd is when we pay them hundreds of millions of dollars not to run companies. Bob Nadillo went from a vice president position at General Electric to the CEO of Home Depot. Home Depot had a structure put together that was very employee-oriented, and Bob succeeded in going in there and just tearing it all apart, making everybody really angry. And things plummeted. You know, if you remember, you used to go to Home Depot, and there used to be craftspeople there, former plumbers and electricians and things like that, that would give you advice. Then there was a time you went to Home Depot and there was nobody there. And you had to walk around for 3 hours to find a person, and when you asked them a question, they had no idea. No idea. Because they were only a part-time employee that used to drive a taxi before they got this job. Well, the people got tired of Bob Nadillo. and they said, you should leave. And he said, I don't want to leave. And then they said, well, we'll give you $220 million if you'll go. And he said, okay. It's bizarre. It's bizarre how we assign those values. And I would imagine there are equally talented people that are making just above minimum wage as they are talented people who are making $300,000 a year. Some of it's timing. Some of it's who you know. Some of it's just this arbitrary shoot that takes place. It kind of, everything falls down and happens the way it's supposed to happen. So if we assign value to people for the things they do, what value would you assign to the person who saved the world from destruction? What value would you assign him? How much money does he deserve? That man died in May. His name is Stanislav Petrov. He was in the Soviet Army. And he saved the world on September 26, 1983. He was the guy that would sit for mind-numbing hours looking at the screens that showed that there were no missiles coming. So on September 1st of 1983, the Soviet Union shot down a Korean airliner. So things were a little tense. Stanislav went to work on the 26th, like any other day, sat down and stared. And then suddenly a red light started blinking with an alarm that had never gone off before. There were five missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles, from the United States, heading right to Moscow. That's what the screen said. And so he grabbed the phone, the red phone, I would imagine. And he put it up to his ear and he was getting ready to push the button to contact his superiors when he had a thought. Maybe this wasn't really happening. They had just installed the new system a few months earlier. He was still kind of learning the ins and outs of it. But more so, he figured if the United States was going to attack the Soviet Union, they were going to use more than five missiles. And so he decided he was going to wait the allotted 10 minutes just to see what would happen. And of course, as you know, nothing happened. It was a total error of this new system. There were no missiles. It was some kind of wiring problem. They fixed it later on. And you know what Stanislav got for saving the world? He got a reprimand. Because he didn't take the time to log what was going on during that 10 minutes. And so he was reprimanded for what he did. You would think he should get a pay raise. But we don't get what we deserve. We don't get what we think we earned. That was the issue in two of the lessons today. Jonah's all kinds of angry. Well, there were lots of angry people in today's lessons. He was all kinds of angry because those bad people in Nineveh did not get what they deserved, because they deserved a good smoting. You know how God smotes? And that's what they deserved. And he was mad. Mad enough to die. And then you had those people that were hired to work in the field. And they were mad. Because they got what they agreed upon. They just thought they deserved more. So, if the kingdom of heaven is like a vineyard or a field, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us, those who have been working in the field since almost the day we were born? What does it mean for those who have been working in the field since middle age? Or those who finally went to work sometime during their third chapter in life? You know, the curious thing is that there is this notion of unfairness. Well, I've been doing this all my life. How can somebody who's lying on their deathbed go and repent and be in heaven when I've been doing this all the time, serving God, being the person that God has called me to be, missing out on all the fun because all those other people have fun? I've been a Christian. But the reality is, think with this God of love, that we're in for a surprise. When we find that time that we're sitting up in heaven doing those heavenly things, whatever that might be, we might be surprised to find who's sitting next to us. Because it might not be people who deserve to be there, don't you know? Because don't we have it in our minds who deserves to go and who doesn't deserve to go? Who's been bad and who's been good? And we've always been good. Even when we've been bad, we've been good. Because we said we're sorry for being bad. But the reality is, when we talk about that grace that God has placed within this world, the love that God has given us through Jesus Christ, and the promise of salvation, it goes in a way that we might not wholly understand to people we might not even like. And so we may find ourselves very well sitting there between people that we might not care for. People who don't deserve to be there. Not like us, at least. Maybe there should be two rooms in heaven, one for us and one for everybody else. But the reality is, it doesn't matter how long we've been laboring at the field. It doesn't matter how good of a Christian we've been. It doesn't really matter about anything else other than the grace that God has bestowed upon us. And the blessings of God's love placed within our lives, forgiving us despite the fact that we deserve not to be forgiven. Just like those other people. And so, while we sit and wonder and contemplate about this possibility, understand that this field in which we work is before us now. This field in which God calls us to do His work here and now. Understanding the blessings that come as part of our lives, understanding that we have this opportunity as we work in this field, as we work in this place on this planet, to offer our thanks to God for this blessing that God has given us. Because you know those other people that we're going to be sitting next to? They don't deserve to be there any more than we deserve to be there. But in the end, we're there solely because of the love and grace of God. Let us give thanks to God for His blessings, for His love, and for His forgiveness. And let us set forth to use our lives as a way to offer our thanks for what God has given us and what God continues to bless us with. Amen.